As we look at the first two chapters of the Bible, the creation, we see that on the sixth day that God created, first of all, man. And he saw that it was not good for man to be alone. That man needed a companion. That man needed a helpmeet. One to be with him and support him and stand beside him. And certainly as we've been looking at the eldership, and I know I told you last week we'd look at deacons today, but we're going to switch that up a little. But as we look at Christian leaders, whether we're talking about elders or deacons, preachers, Bible class teachers, certainly men in those roles need a helpmeet. They need one who stands beside them and helps them. Certainly, of course, when we look at elders and deacons, that is one of the qualifications, is that they be the husband of one wife. The wife of a Christian leader certainly must be a godly woman, one who can stand beside her husband in all of the things that he does and his work for God. Her role is to be a helpmeet, to be especially supportive in view of the tremendous responsibility that her husband has undertaken. Her encouragement and her support will assist him in being effective in his work as a leader in the Lord's church. Women serve a vital role. They serve a vital role in the home and the world in general, in the church, and certainly those wives of elders and deacons and preachers and so forth serve a very important role. It's interesting as you look at this subject that much has been written and said about elders and deacons and preachers and other roles within the church, but very little has been written or said about the wife that supports them. And really, that's a shame, because it is a very vital role. So the role of a Christian leader's wife, and I'm going to use that term Christian leaders, just know by that I'm saying the elders and deacons and other ones that are in leadership positions. They're wives. And certainly some of the things are a little stronger when we look at elders and so forth, but we're going to use that term generally. And certainly as you look at those roles that we've been looking at, a man's wife can disqualify him as a Christian leader, can disqualify him from being qualified to be an elder or a deacon. A Christian leader's wife can be a great handicap, or she can be a great asset. And certainly we want ones who are a great asset, not only in a Christian life, but also in the service of their husband and the role that he has taken. The role of a Christian leader's wife begins long before her husband becomes an elder, a deacon, or whatever role he may serve in. Just as the man must begin to prepare himself long before he takes that role, she must be preparing herself as well. A godly wife is needed for a man to fulfill the qualifications of an elder, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. A man needs a good wife to raise godly children. He needs a wife to help him in hospitality and several other of those qualifications that are listed. The role of a Christian leader's wife is to give support to her husband, to be that helpmeet. One is always there to support. But not just that, to love God, to love the church. It all goes together. She should give great diligence to carry out that role. Her role should be just as important to her as his role is to him, and her role of supporting him. The confidence that she places in her husband and the support that she gives to him as an effective leader are certainly key. So let's look first of all at some general qualifications. And these are qualifications, you might say, first of all, that should be for any woman, any Christian woman. should meet these qualifications. Remember, as we looked at the qualifications for elders, and as we look at deacons next week, Lord willing, that we see, generally, they're just good Christian traits, aren't they? They're traits that we should all be striving for, with the exception of being married and having children, some of those things that you don't have to have to be a good Christian. But generally, it's just a good Christian man. And the traits that we should all be aspiring for, these are good Christian traits that women should be aspiring to. Certainly a Christian leader's wife should be a Christian. Now I know as you go and you look at the qualifications there, it doesn't say that he's the husband of one wife who is a Christian. But I think that's implied. How can she be a helpmeet to him in that God-ordained role as a leader in the church if she is not even standing beside him in the faith? So certainly she must be a Christian. And as a Christian, she should set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. You may say, well, those things were written to Timothy. Timothy was a young preacher. He was one that Paul was instructing in how to be a preacher and the things that he should do. But certainly as you look at those things and being an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity, aren't those things that should apply to all of us as Christians? Not just a young preacher like Timothy or Titus, but these are good Christian traits. And so a Christian woman, a Christian wife, one who is... not only those who are the husbands of the leaders of the church, but all women and all of us in general should meet these qualifications. In speech, the older women are to teach good things to the younger women. That's a role that they have. In Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, it says, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and to train the young women in to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. And so the older women have that role. We've kind of gotten away from that, I think, with the older men teaching the younger men and the older women teaching the younger women. It's a vital thing. That needs to be a part of what we are. That's part of that guiding process. That's part of being God's family. That the older women have so much knowledge to impart, to share. And they need to be sharing that. The younger women need to be listening to them in those things. As we think about being an example in speech, they should speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. They should certainly not be liars. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Not being a gossip or a busybody. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. Not being a slanderer. Titus chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And we'll talk more about slander in a moment. But be an example in speech, also in conduct. The word conduct is how we live our life. It's a very broad thing that covers many things. And so we could place under that things such as she must be hospitable. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. She must resist temptation. James chapter 4, verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. She must lay up her treasures in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. She must not be puffed up with conceit. Or be proud, craving for controversy and for quarrels about words which produce envy, dissensions, slander, evil suspicions. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4. Her outward appearance should be one of humility. James chapter 4, verse 10. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Reverent in her behavior. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. Kind and forgiving. Ephesians 4, 32 and Colossians 3, verse 13. We have two beautiful descriptions of godly women in Scripture. One is in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, For it says, likewise also, that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, we have a similar statement. Peter writes, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of costly jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. There's nothing more beautiful than a woman who meets those two descriptions. That inner beauty, which is so precious to God. As we continue to think about her conduct and being an example in her conduct, she must be content with her life. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, Philippians chapter 4, and verse 11. Not being envious of what other people have, not being self-seeking, James chapter 3, verse 16. She can't have authority over a man, but be submissive, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. She must not allow Satan into her life, James chapter 4, verse 7. But work the works of God. Just as Christ came to do the work of the Father, that should be the work that the woman is doing. The Christian woman, the Christian man as well. John chapter 9, verse 4. And so the Christian woman is an example in speech and in conduct, and also in love. She must love her husband. Titus chapter 2, verse 4. She loves her neighbor, Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. She loves her enemies, Matthew 5, 44. She loves other Christians, Hebrews 10, verse 24. She loves her children, Titus chapter 2, and verse 4. She's an example in faith. She must have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And she's an example in purity. Oh, how we need women who are an example in purity in this impure age we live in. That set the example in how women are to live and conduct themselves and to dress and behave. Christian woman is that type woman. Paul told Timothy to keep himself pure, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. He wrote to the church at Philippi in Philippians 4, verse 8, to think on things that are pure. To set your mind on those type things. And the things that we set our mind on, those are the things that we will live, the way that we will act. And so as we think of those things, and again, these are general things that really would fit with any Christian and any Christian woman, we might say, well, what's the difference between the wife of a Christian leader and any other woman in the church? And we could really say, very little. There should be very little. If all of the women are meeting the qualifications of being godly Christian women, there should be very little. Just as there should be very little difference between the men who meet the qualifications to be leaders and the men in the congregation as a whole. If we're all living as we should, then there should be little difference. There are some differences in this general category. Again, she must be married. An elder must have a wife, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. And so if she is an elder or a elder, a deacon's wife, then she's going to be married. She must have children. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, qualifications, elders and deacons, that they have children and that those children are being trained up in the way that they ought to go. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Obviously, the wife is going to play a very vital role in that process. She must have the same qualifications as her husband. And you say, well, those qualifications are for the man. We look at those qualifications as we look down the list, not given to wine, not greedy, not covetous, and so forth and so on. And yes, those are given to the men, but again, how can she be a proper helpmeet if they're not in agreement on those things? If they're not both living the same lifestyle and have the same priorities in their life, then how can she be a helpmate and a support to him? And so those are qualifications that are certainly very important for her as well. She must have the respect of the world. Part of his qualification is that he be respected, have a good reputation by for those that are without. Qualification for an elder especially. And certainly she's going to play a very important role in his reputation. She helps to keep his reputation intact, that good reputation. Because really a husband and wife come as a package deal, don't they? And if one is marred, then they're both marred. They stand or fall for the most part together. Well, what about some specific qualifications? Or any given specifically for a leader's wife, an elder, a deacon's wife in particular? Well, yes. Her place is so important that they're in 1 Timothy chapter 3. As Paul is giving the qualifications for elders and deacons, that he literally stops right in the middle of the list of deacons and says their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. There's only four qualifications listed, but they're pretty broad in their spectrum and include a lot of things. First of all, he says be dignified. Some of you virgins will say grave. Wives should take their work seriously. The role that they have as the wife of a Christian leader, an elder, a deacon, a preacher, they should take that seriously. They should be thoughtful. Be considerate. Conduct themselves in a way that relates to being a godly woman. Some of the things that we've already looked at. A dignified or grave individual is someone who's admired by everyone. Both those in the church and those outside will look at that person with the respect. The wife of a Christian leader must be dignified in all their attitudes and their duties toward their husband and toward the church and toward the Lord. She should be an example of the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Again, back from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. And then he says, not slanders. Certainly, gossiping should not be done by any Christian, should it? That's one of those sins that take place in the church and gets overlooked a lot or not talked about a lot. And not trying to get myself in trouble here, but I think it's a known fact that women talk a little more than men. Most women are trying to get their husbands to talk more. Most men are trying to get their wives to talk less. You know, that's just kind of the way it is. And so it's important, though, for men and women not to be slanders, not to be ones who are spreading gossip, being busybodies. A person who is doing that can certainly do tremendous harm in the church. But that becomes even more important when we're talking about a Christian leader's wife, because especially as elders' wives, there's going to be information there that the elders are dealing with that are not public knowledge, are not supposed to be public knowledge. Maybe a sin with an individual that they're dealing with, and they're working with that individual one-on-one. It's not something that everybody needs to know about. Or whatever it is, but there's that type of information that's there. And so it's very important for that Christian leader's wife to be one who does not gossip. One who does not use slander really means to use information you have against another person. Certainly we should never do that. A Christian leader can help protect his wife in this area in not giving her information, not divulging to her information that is not of a public nature. And sometimes there's a very fine line there between using her as a sounding board and support and making sure you're protecting her from information that she really doesn't need to have. Brother Cleon Lyles gives three reasons why Christian leaders should certainly be very careful about information that they relate to their wives. He says, number one, it's a lack of consideration of the wife in view of the mental and emotional burden which knowledge of delicate matters will place upon her. Secondly, he says the most tragic consequences of a Christian leader relating intimate details of a business meeting to his wife, some matters that are private and not best for common knowledge, is that should she betray his confidence, she may create an unintentional disturbance within the harmony of the church. Certainly, again, some of those things are of a private nature and should be of a private nature. And then thirdly, he said, third and perhaps most important reason for Christian leaders excluding their wives from all knowledge of the internal business discussed within private meetings, unless such information is a public disclosure, is that the Lord did not instruct the overseeing of the church to be done by elders, deacons, etc., and their wives, but by the elders, by the leadership, by the men. And that's the ones he put in that position. And so again, that's kind of a fine line sometimes, because we need that wife as that sounding board, but yet we need to always be cautious. Wives can be a great encouragement to their husbands and should be. Ones that we can talk to and discuss and gain strength from, but we need to be careful. And then he says, sober-minded. Sober-minded, that means self-control. The same Greek word is translated self-controlled or temperate in Titus chapter 1, verse 8. One who is thinking clearly, who is in control of what they're doing. And it covers every phase of life, every act of one's life. The speech that they have, that we saw earlier, and drink, and eating, and every possible condition of life, we should have control of ourselves. Be sober-minded. The wife of a Christian leader must be sober-minded before their husband is qualified to be an elder, a deacon, etc. Again, not something they grow into, but something that they must have already. Not all members of the congregation will agree with the decisions that are made by the leadership. There's always that within a congregation, no matter how sound a congregation, how sound the leadership, and so forth. There's you can't please everybody. That's always one of the struggles that leaders have. Is you just can't do it. And so there's always some element of disagreement and some grumbling going on, and people saying things, criticizing the elders and the deacons and so forth, the preacher. And those put a heavy burden on those men's wives as they hear those criticisms and those complaints. But she can't lash out and respond to those things in anger. But she must do it with forgiveness, with an attitude of kindness and forgiveness in her heart. And that's difficult sometimes. And then he says, faithful in all things. Just as elders and deacons and preachers must be faithful, so must their wives be faithful. The church suffers harm when the wife of a leader is unfaithful. The wife of a Christian leader can do a great deal to make their husbands better leaders. And she must be faithful in worship to God. Yeah, that seems to be go without saying, but I know of congregations that have struggled with that. One right here in our area that have struggled trying to get their wives or the elders to come to church. So certainly that is a big problem. She must be faithful in worship and faithful in living a Christian life. Faithful in fulfilling her place in the church. Every Christian woman should be a faithful helpmeet to her husband. When one man is considered for a leadership role, then his wife is being considered also. She should certainly be a part of that equation. And it should be explained to her the gravity of the work that her husband is undertaking. The importance of the place that they themselves will hold as the wife of that one. And so as we think about these traits of these women, these wives, what does she do? She supports her husband. She is the helpmeet to her husband. A Christian leader's wife can support her husband by being a good example, We've already looked at some of those things that Paul wrote to Timothy about being a good example in. A good example. Being a good influence. An elder is to be above reproach. His wife should be also. She should be always a good example. A role model for the women of the congregation. Especially the younger Christian women. Whether young in years or young in the faith. They need those older women that are established in the faith to be able to look to as models to grow from. She supports him by accompanying him when he visits members in the home, visits people in the hospital and so forth, and also insisting in having people into their home, getting to know the congregation. Elders smell like sheep. Christian leaders smell like the sheep. We have to be out among the flock. And she plays a vital role, again, in that. She must support him by being willing to share him with others. He has a responsibility not just to his own family now, but to the church, to the congregation. And that's going to call for time that he has to be away from family. She must understand that and support him in that. She needs to be there for him to talk to. Again, there are those things that are going to be very heavy on his heart. And again, if you've never been close to an elder, been part of a family, it's hard for you to understand some of those things, of the things that elders have to deal with, and the things that are the tears that are shed, the heaviness of heart. And certainly they need a wife to stand there with them, to be able to talk to share with, to cry with as they look at those things. Certainly she needs to be praying for her husband. She needs to be a woman of prayer, praying for her husband that he have the wisdom and the courage to make the correct decisions, to do the right things, to remain sound and solid in his faith. She can ask God to help her husband to handle the stress that comes with Christian leadership. That God will give him strength when he becomes discouraged, when he faces criticism. And she should understand the commitment that he's made as he serves the Lord in the capacity of leadership. The times will come whenever there is a member struggling and he has to leave. He has to leave her, he has to leave the children and go and take care of that situation. The emergency in the middle of the night, the interruption of family time. You know, if the woman is not supportive in those things, then those things can cause problems. She must have his support. The godly wife will be thankful that she's married to a man who puts his duty to God first and is seeking to take souls to heaven. You know, certainly each Christian should support the leadership in the work that they're doing for the Lord. We need to support our elders, our deacons. But no support is more important than the support that one receives from his wife, from the helpmeet that he has, the one who stands beside him. She is his helpmeet. She stands by him, provides respect, support, and encouragement for a man who's taken on an enormous responsibility. May each and every Christian leader be thankful for the wife, the helpmeet that we have. All young women in the church should live as though they will one day be the wife of a Christian leader. The wife of a preacher, an elder, a deacon, a teacher. That should be their goal, just as it should be the goal of every young man to desire the work of a bishop, a deacon, a preacher. That should always be the focus. What better purpose can a young Christian have than to be growing toward that goal? We need people in those roles. We've talked a lot about we need godly men to fill those roles of elders and deacons and so forth. We need godly women to stand beside them. Lesson is yours. Is anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the Lord's invitation? Whether you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, whether you need to the prayers of your brothers and sisters. Maybe you haven't been being that example that you ought to have been, or living the Christian life that you ought to have. Maybe as a man, you haven't been the type of husband you ought to be, or as a wife, you haven't been the type of wife you need to be. If we can assist you in any way this morning, the Lord's invitation is open if you'd let your needs be known as we stand and sing.